this is Local Talk, KHOI's show about life in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. The show's goal is the same as KHOI's mission, which is to build community through communication. We are really excited and looking forward to building this program into a two-hour show that will be aired daily to talk about the events and the people and the ideas that are important on a day-to-day basis and in time as our technology capacity increases, also to allow people to call in and even stop in during the show to talk on the air.
Round and round. Cause it goes up and down. It goes round and round.
The carousel is the first thing you see. In fact, when you come into Story City, I don't know of any community that presents itself better.
I can remember back when, there was maybe 12 to 15 people that would form a Scandinavian Days parade, like Bob Sweet and Chuck Erickson and some of the Norwegians, and they would have their costumes on and the American and Norwegian flags, and they'd march down Main Street.
Today, we are going to travel to Story City. The town is easy to reach. You can drive north on Route 69 or Interstate 35. Either way, you'll see a big sign telling you where to turn off at 115th Street or County Highway E-15. Story City has been around since the 1850s with the arrival of the railroad and Norwegian immigrants. It was originally called Fairview. The town, as well as Story County, was later named after U.S. Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story. Story was from Massachusetts and served for more than 40 years in the U.S. Supreme Court. He was known for being thoughtful and generous. Story City has a mix of small and large industries, small businesses, and an outlet shopping mall, an antique mall, and a variety of retail shops and restaurants. Most of the businesses are locally owned. Story City has special significance to KHOI. Our broadcast tower is located in the vicinity of Story City, and legally, Story City is identified as our city of license with the federal government. That's why when you hear KHOI identify itself at the top of every hour, that what we say is KHOI 89.1 Story City Ames. We say Story City because that's our city of license, and we say Ames because that's where the broadcast studios are being built. So let's start getting to know Story City by hearing from Mike Jensen, the mayor. Here he is being interviewed by another remarkable Story City resident, Paul Wearson. Paul is a member of the KHOI team, and he's a veteran radio broadcaster in his own right. We'll tell you more about him a little bit later.
Very good. Paul Wearson with KHOI Radio, and we're here in Story City today interviewing Mike Jensen, premier mayor of Story City. And Mike, welcome to our program today.
Well, it's great to be here, and we're excited to have the new radio station and being able to get the message out from all the communities here in Story County on what's happening in these progressive little communities that don't get a lot of publicity.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm going to say that Mike and I were classmates in Story City. Class of 1961.
Yeah, class of 61.
Right, and Mike, after a stint in the Navy, returned to his hometown, worked with DOT for years, and tell us about your involvement in the community, Mike.
Well, I guess I was born and raised here, love the community. I've tried to be in all the service organizations I can and still try to do a good job. Right now, I'm mayor. I've been on the council since 1979, and I've been involved in JC's and the Lions Club, which I am no longer a member. I just have a lot of duties, and I hate to get involved in more things than I can really do a good job at. So
how many years altogether have you been in the council and mayor? It's probably going back 20 years?
Well, I think it'll be 32 years here shortly.
Oh, I'm way under the total.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you look back in the annals of Story City, those 30 years have brought a lot of change. First of all, you might talk a little bit about the business park here and the companies in town.
Actually, we have three business parks or industrial parks. The one east of the interstate, we have a wind turbine factory out there, NextEra, and we have an international company, which was a homegrown business here in Story City by Scott Raymond. And when things kind of went into the downturn, that was sold off. And now it's called Indochell Precision. They have foundries in other countries, and they make a lot of parts for four-wheel drives in this country and everywhere else. And it's growing. It's a growing business. We have EB Manufacturing out there that manufactures trailers, and they're growing. They've added on a couple times since they've been here. And their home office is in Pennsylvania. In the west edge of town, we have a business park where Record Printing is, and KMJ, it's racing equipment that they sell. And they drop ship that stuff all over the United States, and it's a growing business. They've got quite a computer lab out there that they do a lot of online sales, and I think he's looking to expand. And we have Lumber Specialties, which is out across the railroad tracks to the west here, and they manufacture all kinds of truss rafters. They custom design them and do a lot of agricultural buildings as well as homes. And you'll see their semis rolling through town with rafters that look like they're way bigger than they can get on there. But it's pretty interesting. If you go out there, everything's computerized. That they feed their programs in, and the saws come down and lasers and guide them, and they cut all the angles and fasten the rafters together and ship them out. American Packaging out there, that is a growing business. They make the packaging for like P.J. Chang, and they used to do Orville Rettenbacher and a lot of Colgate products. And they have one of the high-tech printing machines in the United States out there right now. We went through a tour there on business after hours, and it was very interesting.
And the annual event here in Story City is Scandinavian Days. And Mike, you might give us a little history on that. That's been going for some time.
Oh, gosh, yeah, a long time. Actually, it's May 17th is the actual date for the celebration of their independence. But they have changed it to now it's the first full weekend in June, like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I can remember back when there was maybe 12 to 15 people that would form a Scandinavian Days parade, like Bob Sweet and Chuck Erickson and some of the Norwegians that really wanted to get it going. And they would have their costumes on and the American and Norwegian flags, and they'd march down Main Street. And it's growing from there to where we celebrate 3 days now. And it's a big event. It's a year-long planning session. We've got a committee that sign on for 3 years on the committee, and it's good they sign on for that long because it takes a long time to really get everything in motion, and you hate to just have them for 1 year. There's a lot of knowledge to be learned there.
But yeah, Scandinavian Days observes Norwegian Independence Day, called 17th of May. As you said, it's in May,
right.
But it evolved into a activity that has really grown. The parade's about an hour long, and it's an annual event. The whole committee and community get behind. So it's really a big deal in Story City.
It is.
We're a Main Street community, aren't we?
We are.
You might explain a little bit about what that is.
Well, Main Street, we started that several years ago, too, and we still are a Main Street community, but we've combined it with the greater chamber. We have the officers and everybody in that, and they provide a lot of expertise. Like if someone comes and wants to redo their storefront, they have architects and engineers that'll come and look at that and do two or three sketches. And you may have seen out here on the walls the before and after of a lot of the businesses downtown that have participated in that. And there is some money that the city puts up, and the architect's fees and all that are waived because we are a Main Street community. It's a good deal. It gives you a perspective of what your building will look like. And you can't ask for better service than they've given us.
If you come to Story City with its mixture of manufacturing base, and also you might mention that our storefronts are occupied. It's a busy main street up here.
Every storefront right now is occupied other than the old bowling alley, and we just built a new bowling alley that's a lot nicer and more air-conditioned and more comfortable, and so we're looking to try to get somebody into that now, and then the main street will be full.
That's really great in contrast to many rural communities that are really featuring boarded up and abandoned business districts. Story City seems to be thriving. And Mike, we want to thank you for your time today. Story City, a town involved with Main Street, a manufacturing base, a place where we have a lot of farmers coming to town. We still have a hardware store. And I think a growing community with a bright future. And we hope that Story City gets a lot of exposure and involvement with KHOI. So welcome, Mike.
Well, we appreciate you visiting with us today, and we look forward to many other visits with you and to keep you abreast of what's going on in the community. And I just can't say enough about how we appreciate this. I think it's another avenue that we can get the word out what Story City has to offer. Thank you.
And thank you, Mike.
That was Mike Jensen, who's the mayor of Story City. You're listening to Local Talk covering community life in Central Iowa. And here today to help do that is Susan Franson, who's one of our reporters at large and also a very good friend of mine. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Ursula. Great to be here.
So you've been working with Paul Wearson, who's the gentleman who interviewed the mayor of Story City. Tell us a little bit about what you two are up to.
Well, our assignment was to go and interview the mayors of all the towns in Story County. We didn't get to all of them, but we've had a wonderful time with our road trips out to a number of towns, and what impressed me was how every town had something special about it, some unique character, and the mayors really expressed their enthusiasm for whatever they were doing. I think the spirit that's alive is a great story that nobody knows yet. And I think KHOI can bring that alive.
And we really look forward to bringing those stories to Local Talk.
This is a great chance to introduce our listening audience to Paul. So here he is.
I was born here in Story City in 1943. Of all our four brothers in the family, I was the only one to be born in a hospital. Everyone else was born on the farm. Well, I've always had my hand in broadcasting. I went to work for Job Service of Iowa, training for dropouts, high school delinquents, and that sort of thing, where they could get a GED, finish their education, and be trained in a job. But during that time, I did a lot of voice work, I did a lot of acting, I did film narration, and things of that nature. I was once the voice of the World Food Prize at the ceremony at the State House, and so I've done a lot of voice work, and then I did some broadcasting for KMXD. It was an easy listening music station in the early 90s, and that got me back on the air again. That was fun to do. Broadcasting is special because you're reaching out beyond your microphone, and it always fascinated me.
Then you retired, and what happened after that?
In that time, I've re-injected myself into my hometown. I'm on the Library Foundation Board. I'm on the 4-H board for Story County for the foundation. I'm active in Kiwanis, I'm active in the church, and I'm active with RSVP, Retired Senior Volunteer Program. So I do a lot of volunteer work. Now I'm president of Story City Kiwanis. Our theme is raising money so we can do projects that relate to youth, education, anything affecting family and community. And the way we raise money is kind of unique. We have a trailer up here parked up by the elevator in an industrial area in Story City, and it's a 24/7 office or storefront where people can bring their cardboard and paper, and we pack that very tightly into a semi-trailer so it weighs as much as possible, and that means we make money. We're paid by the pound, and it takes 2 months to fill a trailer with paper and recyclable cardboard, and each load currently at market price is worth $950, and we do 7 of those a year. So with that and our refreshment stand at the Scandinavian Days holiday every June 1st, we have that as an income source for supporting all our projects, and it's so successful that we really are able to cover our financial responsibilities very well. And here's the real payoff. It's also a community service because it makes sense to take your cardboard and paper, give it to us, and we, after our trailer is full, we have this wonderful company that is called Mason City Recycling. They come down and bring an empty trailer. They take our full trailer back, and all that paper and cardboard is ground up into insulation material for housing and construction. So just think about that. You know, if you have a tendency to just throw your paper away or put it in the trash or it goes into the landfill or whatever, that's the end of that as a useful product. But if you recycle it through us, it may have 50 to 100 years more life as a building insulation material. So everybody cuts their garbage in half by giving us the cardboard and paper, our community service. We stack it in there so it really weighs a lot of pounds. And then we cash the check, and it goes into our treasury to do our youth and community service projects. Mason City Recycling has all that material we collected for them. And I defy you to find a loser in that process. Everybody wins. And so we're really involved in recycling, and every time that we have folks come in there to bring cardboard and paper when we're actually working on site, they all say thank you. You know, we really appreciate that you do this. And to give you an idea of our growth, we used to have 4 trailers a year. Now we have 7. So it's almost doubled in terms of community usage, in terms of how many people use our service and recycle, and how many trailers we get shows that people really have signed on. And it's growing, and continues to grow. So we're very proud of the fact that we're making money, that material's being recycled, youth and community service projects are being funded, and people can cut their garbage in half and feel very good that they're recycling. Now, everybody has to love that. Each day, I have to start the day at the trailer to find out what's come in overnight. And there are 2 more folks in the Kiwanis Club who've retired and have that time during the week to help with the project. And we have to actually man that trailer frequently. Now, we can go in the morning and work 2 hours, cut up all the cardboard, pack it away, and the paper into boxes, and walk out feeling very good about ourselves. Then we come back and check on it in 2 hours, and you can't even walk in. People have dropped off paper and cardboard, and we have our job to do all over again. So when it comes right down to it, the trailer is part of every day, like brushing my teeth. And the issue is, how much time that day am I going to spend at the trailer? Because with the kind of growth we have, I could spend all day every day there if I really had the opportunity. So I feel very good about it. And, you know, it's like anything else. You're busy, but lo and behold, you can fit that into your life.
If you could tell everybody whatever you wanted to about Story City, what would it be?
Well, now, where would I begin? First of all, it's the Garrison Keillor country, where all the women are strong and the men are good-looking and the children are way above average. I'm prejudiced on that one, but there's a grain of truth to that. It's middle-class America, small-town Iowa. And when you look at a small town like ours, Story City, Iowa, the first thing you think about is, well, there are a lot of small towns. What is unique about Story City? Well, the first thing that springs to mind, of course, the carousel is what's famous in Story City. It's the Herschel Spillman antique carousel dating from 1913. Next year will be the great anniversary. And I believe during the course of the year, they're going to have all kinds of events leading up to the final celebration of the anniversary. It's already a great attraction. It's a great story. Back in the early 1980s, we had fund drives not only to restore the carousel, which was badly decomposing. These are all wooden animals and pieces of art that had to be restored at great cost. And that was a big project in and of itself. And then there came the need for housing. And so there was a double whammy. You had to raise funds for all the artisans and the people to restore the animals and all the workings of the carousel, the mechanics of it. And then another fundraising project to build the facility to house it. This was done in a very short time because the community was very well motivated to do it. And now it's a standing attraction in the North Park in Story City. And we have countless visitors every summer. And it's fun to watch the map on the wall because that documents all the stages of recreation and reconstruction from the way those animals looked when they were rotting away. And also on the wall is a map where we put pins in there, a world map, where our visitors are from off the interstate. And during the course of a summer, you'd be surprised. It's almost worldwide, our visitors off Interstate 35. And so that's what Story City is so famous for, is that carousel, the 1913 Herschel Spillman Antique Carousel. And we're very proud of that, not only in and of itself as something that's unique, but we're proud of what the community did to make that a feature attraction and restore it. Carousel is the first thing you see. In fact, when you come into Story City, I don't know of any community that presents itself better. As soon as you come off the interstate, you see the golf course, parks on either side, tennis courts, swimming pool, the carousel. In fact, I once talked to a man whose car was hauled in for repair, and he was not happy, but he told me, "This is the most beautiful town I've ever seen." So I'll never forget that man. He was amazingly optimistic for a man who had a major car problem. But I think that coming off the interstate into Story City, the carousel is one of the first things you see. Well, the other thing is, this is 1913 too, the Grand Opera House and Story Theater. And it is the longest continuously operating theater west of the Mississippi. That's been a movie theater since 1913. And, of course, you look at 1913, that's very, very early in the history of motion pictures. So it's been continuously operating as a movie theater since that time. And this is a man, Todd Thorson, who's running it as a business even now. He's open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, shows a movie, and they're all first-run movies, current movies. And the place has a great history, not only for live performance in the early part of the century, but it's always been a... And so the Story Theater and Grand Ole Opera House is really a great place to see a film. But more importantly, since the early 80s, we've restored the performance area. We've spent a lot of money. There were grants available. And now we have an orchestra pit. And you can do a Broadway show. And we do one every spring during Scandinavian Days. Last year we did How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And we do it like the Broadway folks do it. We have a full cast and 18 to 20 people in the orchestra pit playing live in a band. And that really is a prideful thing for us to have that great performance facility. We're proud that after all these years, the theater is still run as a business. And we're thankful that you can see a first-run movie there. So it's not old movies or second-run house. It's a first-run movie house. You know, for a town our size, we have three museums. We have a one-room schoolhouse that was restored to Sheldahl School, built in actually pioneer days. The 1903 Bartlett Museum and Carriage House. Now, the Bartlett Museum, that's a Queen Anne-style home. And right now we've got it furnished with period pieces depicting life in the early 19th or 20th century in Story City. It's open on Sundays and all the holidays, and we've really had a lot of donated period pieces there. Beautiful furniture and wonderful home. And then, in recent years behind that, we built a carriage house, which really goes with the Queen Anne style of that building. And that really is a full-fledged museum. It has all kinds of artifacts from the history of Story City, and it's a beautiful new facility that's state-of-the-art. And we're very, very proud of that. So in one area there, you have the Bartlett Museum and the carriage house right behind it. And the schoolhouse down by where our regular high school is today. And then right by the football field down on Hillcrest, we have another little brick museum. And that has all the records and all kinds of artifacts from the past, too. And I volunteered there. And I remember one day, a man brought his little boy in there. And he was protesting. You know, museums are not fun places for five-year-olds. Well, I had a brainstorm, so I took this World War I hat and put it on his head and had him marching around, and I brought some other things he could hold in his hand. And 10 minutes later, he didn't want to leave. He thought that was the greatest playground in the world. So we have those three marvelous little museums, and for a town that size, it really is remarkable, and they're well-kept. And increasingly, we have great documentation and record keeping, and people can come and do research. Our library has a great facility for doing genealogical research, some rare things that you can look back in, especially if you are Scandinavian, because that's originally what our heritage is. So we're very proud of our library and those resources. And then, looking back at the Depression, we have the famous swinging bridge over the Skunk River. It was a WPA project and still swings over the river. And just east of there is a shelter house built out of very rough cut logs and concrete with an old stone fireplace. And of course, all my life I remember going across the swinging bridge, having family or 4-H picnics there, and having a fire in that wonderful old shelter house. And all of it is a result of a WPA project in the 30s, and it's there today. And you know, we have a lot of great volunteers in Story City, and one of our folks in town, at his own cost, put border lights on the swinging bridge. And so all the suspension parts of the bridge are lighted, and when you drive by into town on an evening when the sun's down, you see the outline of that bridge and all the suspension gear lighted with small white lights. And so that's all just donated and given by Dave Anderson, who did all that stuff. And that's so typical of our community. And that's another thing I'm very proud of, is the volunteerism in our community. When you look at the Scandinavian Days holiday and all the food stands and everything that's involved in putting on a two-day festival, parade and everything, you're talking about a lot of volunteer work. When you talk about the carousel and its restoration, you're talking about a lot of volunteer work. When you're talking about any of the things I just mentioned, staffing the museums and all the things we do that are extracurricular in Story City, we have a lot of great volunteers. And the Judge Story Theatrical Troupe, named after Judge Story, for whom Story County was named, we are the ones who put that show on every year. And some years we do a dinner theater and a children's theater, too. And this happens in that grand old opera house and movie theater. So we're proud of our wonderful old theater. We're proud of our swinging bridge. We're proud of our three museums. We're really proud of the carousel. And I think it's really time for people to start thinking in 2013, that our 1913 carousel will be 100 years old, and be alert for notices of special activities that will be going on in connection with celebrating that. So it's an exciting year for us. And I spent my career in Des Moines, returned to Story City to live on the family farm I grew up on, and I am so glad I did, because Story City is such a wonderful town. And it's a place where the women are strong, the men are good looking, and the children are way above average.
Less is good for many things, we can give you proof. For tiling on the kitchen floor, or patching up the roof. Some people even use it as the soles upon their feet. And some folks even think it's good to eat. Yes, a little EFSA will go a long way. Gives you indigestion most all of the day. Put it on your menu, you'll be sure to say. Yes, a little EFSA will go a long way.
Tell us about it, Mary.
Leif Erikson once had a boat. It was a leaky scow. He said to beat Columbus, we has got to leave right now. The boat was leaking badly as they neared the USA. But he plugged the holes, yeah, Lefsa saved the day.
Yes, a little Lefsa will go a long way. Gives you indigestion most all of the day. Put it on your menu, you'll be sure to say. Yes, a little Lefsa will go a long way.
Susan.
Now, if you know what Lefsa is, then you can understood. It looks and feels like plastic, and it tastes just like plywood. We don't know what invented it, we don't know who's to blame. But if you're Norse,
you'll eat it just the same. Yes, a little Lefsa will go a long way. Gives you indigestion most all of the day. Put it on your menu, you'll be sure to say. Yes, a little Lefsa will go a long way. Yes, a little Lefsa will go a long way. Yeah!
That was Just a Little Lefsa by the Joy Trio from Story City on their CD Promise of Joy. This is Local Talk, and we're talking about Story City today and some of the outstanding residents of that town who have really made tremendous contribution to community life. One of those is Paul Wearson, whom we just heard from. Another one is somebody who's near and dear to KHOI because he was actually part of the inception of our radio station. It turns out that a radio station not only needs a city of license legally, it actually has to have an actual address within that city of license. And Susan, who was one of the people who started KHOI, was the person who found that address. Susan, how did you do that?
Well, this will lead up to our mystery guest, because I'm not going to tell you who has that address. I will tell you the address, and this is a special quiz for the Story City people. Who lives at 12120 George Washington Carver Avenue, Story City, 50248.
You're going to have to go ahead and tell us who that is.
Well, I'll tell you how I got there. Beautiful fall day, I drove out George Washington Carver in Ames. 12120 George Washington Carver Avenue is on a gravel road about 2 miles south of Story City. And it's the address of Kermit Miskell.
And who is Kermit Miskell?
Kermit Miskell is a farmer who'd lived at this address all his life and played a heroic role in the history of Story City. Paul Wearson interviewed him about his roots.
We're a couple of miles west of Story City on a gravel road at the home of Kermit Miskell. So you are really the address for KHOI. here and there Story City, aren't you?
Yeah.
We're really glad that you are the address for KHOI, Kermit. And that's another part of your civic spirit and involvement beyond your own farm. We thank you a great deal for that. And you're with Vermeer,
yeah,
wearing a cap that says so. Yeah. And you plan to retain that dealership and responsibility. Is that right?
Well, as far as I know right now, we're in the top 10 as far as sales.
Vermeer, that's an Iowa company, isn't
yeah
it? All the way.
It's amazing.
And your relationship with Vermeer goes back how far?
Back 1972.
Really?
Yeah.
And are you still actively farming out here?
Well, my son and grandson is, not me.
How many acres do you farm out here?
Actually, I think about 550.
But you still enjoy the rural life out here, Kermit? You have no plans to move into town?
No.
And you're okay out here on the gravel road?
Yeah.
And you got a great business, and your second generation is following you into farming?
Yeah.
It's a good life.
Yeah, well,
we're in a huge, you'd call it an office, looks like a stock room, because Kermit has a lively business out here. And I want to say hello and welcome to Kermit Miskell. Hello, Kermit.
Hey.
How long have you been out here at this location?
Since I was born.
Since you were born, which was?
1927.
And you've farmed most of your life, haven't you?
Yeah. I started on my own at 18.
Wow.
My dad passed away when I was 11.
He passed away when you were 11?
Yeah.
So at 18, you had a lot of responsibility for the farm directly.
Well, I learned to work a lot before that.
Yeah, I know. I grew up on a farm, too. And I remember I remember driving a tractor at 8 years of age. I'm sure you did the same thing.
I wrote a binder, cut notes at 8 years old.
Yep. It's amazing what was possible, wasn't it?
Yeah. I rode a pony to school through snowbanks that was up to his belly when I was 8 years old.
When he was young, there was a move to build a large dam, the Ames Dam, that would have flooded large parts of Story City. Kevin Miskell went to a meeting put on by the Army Corps of Engineers, and he saw right away that there was potential for having very destructive to the farmland, both above and below the dam, and that it would impact parts of Story City itself. So he organized an opposition. The way he did that is part of the interview with Paul Wearson.
So you were inspired to block this project with whatever means you had.
When it was going to ruin Story City, mm-hmm, and looked like clear north of Highway 20, mm-hmm, and then up like north of Stanhope, I thought maybe something ought to be done.
Right.
I tried to tell people what was going to happen, and they'd tell you, you're crazy. Finally, I went to a Catholic priest out here because, mm-hmm, I knew the people would listen to him. And I took the Methodist minister. He kept it 3 days. And he said, I don't like this situation, he says. Mm-hmm. Can I keep it for a few days? He says, all the ministers in the area from all the churches meet on Wednesday morning for breakfast. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to take this long. It seemed like I started getting some action after that.
So there was a groundswell in opposition to the Ames Reservoir.
Yeah.
And in the end, what happened, Kermit?
Well, it's the only one that had allocated money for. It wasn't built.
So that groundswell of opposition, in the end, stopped that project. So that's democracy in action, isn't it? Without knowing it, you were an activist, right?
Well, I didn't take that word, but I guess that's what it was.
It looks like you were the spark that got people involved who had been apathetic about it when they realized the impact on themselves and their way of life.
Because of Kermit's efforts, Representative Neil Smith, who had been working for years to get the appropriations and had successfully gotten them, withdrew his sponsorship, and that's all it took to stop the dam. But of course, many, many people by that time were contacting him. So by the end, a lot of people got involved and realized that it wasn't the best thing for Central Iowa.
Went by the table, and this guy tried to pronounce my name. He couldn't do it. And so I pronounced it for him, and he said, you're Story City. Yeah, I said it was. Well, he says, I want to talk to you. And I says, I guess I don't know who you are. He says, you had a co-op cap on and farmer's clothes, like farmer's dress. And he said, I'm Neil Smith. And I says, you know, I can't believe that. I said, you've always seen you with suit and necktie before. Yeah. And he said, have you got a few minutes to sit down and visit with me? He said that I understand you aren't happy with the situation about the dam. I said, no. I said, it's going to ruin a lot of people. It's going to ruin a lot of farms. It really isn't going to do much good downstream. And so you actually keep that ground too wet down and they can't farm it. And, well, he says, he didn't say much about that. Then he kind of let that go. And he asked some more questions. And we kept on. He started out, he says, I got to be at the airport by 5 o'clock. It was 1:30, 2 o'clock then, that time. And so he said, I can't talk very long. Well, 4 o'clock, he says, I've got to go because I'm going to miss my airplane back to Washington. I don't think he had time to change clothes. I don't know if he made the airport. But anyway, he said, how come you didn't tell me this stuff before? Well, I said, you always had your head in the clouds and wouldn't look down on me. I said, I tried to tell you. And he said, well, I made a mistake. He said, some lady down to college on the steps told me this would be a good project. I said, spend the money for her. And it's my turn to get some money. And so he said, I told everybody coast to coast, all of my colleagues, that this was a good project. I should build it. So he said, we got the money. Mm-hmm. Now I'm finding out I shouldn't build it. Right. He said, what am I going to do? Well, I said, just tell everybody that's a poor project. He said, I got laughed out of Congress. I'd done that, he said. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And pretty soon he says, well, he says, I just won't back it no more. And he didn't. So I felt he's a pretty honest man, you know. Yeah. Even he did make a mistake, he admitted he made a mistake. And so.
What era was that? 1970s, 60s? When did that happen?
It had trouble like that since 1932. Mm-hmm. They kept bringing it up. And the story said he kept fighting it off. I didn't realize.
So this spans several decades of people wanting to put in this reservoir.
Yeah.
And yet, people opposed it successfully.
Yeah, and most of the time they were able to keep it down pretty easy. But see, the Armineers was bringing it up every 8 years. And they said the first opposition people will die off. So it's a good thing they got other things to do besides build dams now.
That's right. So anyway, at this point, do you expect that issue ever to resurface again?
Yes, I do.
You do?
There's always people who got ideas, you know, but really it shouldn't come up again because it was over. It didn't come up every 8 years. It's supposed to be killed then. Mm-hmm. End of it.
Okay. So silting in is a real problem in these areas.
Well,
affected by dam.
You can't build houses, you can't build factories, and you can't farm the ground if you can't drain it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so you could really, actually the middle part of Iowa would be ruined. Mm-hmm. When Governor Ray was in, to all his cabinet members, one guy said, well, we can't do anything about it. I said, you won't do anything about it. Well, I would if I could, but I can't. It's what's up to you guys.
So you've had the satisfaction of asserting a point of view that was effective in stopping some real powerful interests from building this reservoir and doing a lot of other things that would have been harmful.
Well, we got a lot of help, though, finally. Mm-hmm. See, the State Farm Bureau backed us finally, too. Mm-hmm. And the State Conservation said, told the Armineers at a meeting that they were going to back out mm-hmm. of this project. Mm-hmm. And this Armineer didn't like the idea, and so one of the guys, he was a farmer on that State Conservation Board, and he says, now, how do we get rid of your stinking septic tank ponds in Iowa? And the Armineer bit down a cigar, and I never seen smoke go like that in my whole life of a cigar. And he said, I'll build a dam any damn place that I can get Congress to back me. But a week later, he died of cerebral hemorrhage.
He did.
The only way he could get his 4 stars... He was 3-star general. The only way he could get 4-star, he'd build some dams.
Right.
And if he couldn't get them built.
Well, here's Kermit Miskell, and we're sitting here in his Vermeer dealership. And across and beyond this wall are these huge balers and machines that could not even have been conceived of by the people you grew up with.
That's
so
right.
So your lifespan really has witnessed graphic changes in agriculture. You've been involved in your community. And with agriculture, you haven't been afraid to speak to power. And now, you're backing KHOI, so how can we fail?
We hope we don't fail.
That's right. Well, thank you very much, Kermit Miskell.
Dungeons of despair. blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's a way to make the world a happy place. A little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's a way to make the world a happy place.
Local Talk, an hour of stories, information, and music from Central Iowa. Today we were focusing on Story City in the northern part of Story County. As we heard today, the town is known for its carousel, theater, museums, and Scandinavian Day Festival. To find out more, go to storycity.net. That's storycity.net. Also of great cultural importance, the Storytelling Festival that occurs every September, bringing the world's greatest storytellers to our area. To find out more about the Storytelling Festival, go to storyfestival.net. That's storyfestival.net. To find out more about the paper and recycling operation of the Kiwanis Club in Story City, call Paul Wearson at 515-233-4905. That's 515-233-4905. We spoke today with Mike Jensen, the mayor of Story City, Paul Wearson, president of the Kiwanis Club, and Kermit Miskell, farmer and businessman. Music you heard today included Just a Little Lafsa by the Joy Trio from Story City, from their CD, The Promise of Joy. Also from the same CD was Show a Little Bit of Love and Kindness. Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is produced by Ron Latson, Susan Franson, Don Wirth, and myself, your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. Susan Franson also helped to co-host today's show. Susan is one of KHOI's founders. KHOI's website is khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And while you're there, please use our link on our homepage to make a donation to our Kickstarter campaign to help us build our broadcast studios. KHOI's phone number is 515-292-2878, and we always welcome your feedback and topic ideas for this show. Also, we invite you to call in if you know why we were named after Joseph Story. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
Is a little different from other types of radios. Here's a short course on understanding KHOI and its place in radio history. Lesson number two. KHOI is volunteer driven. Live programming heard on KHOI is produced by local volunteers who are not paid or required to have radio experience.
The voices behind the microphones are often your neighbors or friends,
like me, who have offered their love for music,
the arts, and talents for storytelling as a gift for you, the listener.